Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied to you from God our Father and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. The text for our meditation on God's holy word today is our Old Testament lesson, Book of Exodus, chapter 19, beginning at the second verse. Dear brothers and sisters in the faith, Book of Hebrews, chapter 13, it says, "Through Jesus, then, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God, that is, the fruit of lips that acknowledge His name. Do not neglect to do good and to share what you have, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased." And so, where do we go from here? That is the question, it seems to me, that confronts us in the Old Testament lesson for today, because it does face us. Where do we go from here? It faces us just as much as it faced the people of Israel as they stood before Mount Sinai. You see, Israel was saved. Israel did not send the plagues upon Egypt. Israel did not part the Red Sea. Israel did not defeat Pharaoh's army. All that the people of Israel could do was sing. Sing praise to God. And what did they sing? "The horse and rider, the Lord has thrown into the sea. The Lord has done it." They were saved. And so today's lesson. "You yourselves have seen what I did to Egypt." This is the Lord speaking. "What I did to Egypt. And I lifted you up on wings of eagles. And I brought you to me. And so now you stand before the Lord at Mount Sinai." And the question that is facing you and me and them, because we're both God's people, Old Testament people and New Testament people, the question is, where do we go from here? Now, you know the answer to that question. The answer is what? Where do we go from here? We go to the Promised Land. We go to the Promised Land. That's what St. Paul said to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4. St. Paul wrote, and he said, "I have fought the fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but also to all who have loved his appearing." The Promised Land. That's where you're going. Most certainly. But before you get there, until you get there, the good Lord speaks from Mount Sinai, and he says, today's lesson, Exodus 19, he says, "You will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation." You will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Important Bible verse. It's important because it's found in both the Old Testament and in the New Testament. But as important as it is, honestly, I will tell you, it has puzzled me for years. What exactly is meant by that? You will be for me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. Does God say there every Christian person will be a pastor? No, that's not a priest. Not the same thing at all. It says something different. And maybe the best way to think about it is to think about what it is that a priest does. What does a priest do? Well, if you look at the very beginning of your Bible, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, four whole books and a few other places in the Old Testament are devoted to the task of telling us what a priest does. And what a priest does is basically offer sacrifices. Offer sacrifices, the blood of sheep and goats, grain offerings, wave offerings, sin offerings, thank offerings. That's their job. Now, a person could say, well, yeah, but we don't do that anymore. We don't do that anymore. But why? Why don't we do that anymore? Simple answer. We don't need to. We don't have to. There's no purpose anymore. Hebrews chapter 10, and I quote, Jesus said to his Father, "Behold, I have come to do your will." And he does away with the first covenant, does away with it, in order to establish the second. And by that will of God, we have been sanctified, we, all of us, been sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. For by a single offering, that's his death on the cross, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Now, our little catechism makes the same point. It says, Jesus has redeemed me, a lost and condemned person. He's purchased and won me from all sins and from death and from the power of the devil, not with silver or gold, but with his holy precious blood and with his innocent suffering and death. That I may be, number one, his own. That I may live under him, number two, in his kingdom. And number three, that I may serve him in everlasting righteousness, innocence, and blessedness, because, book of Hebrews, by a single offering, he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. Now, if something is perfect, there's nothing you want to add to that. If something is perfect, there's nothing you want to take away from that. But if you're a child of God and you've been given something perfect, you still want to do something. You want to do something. It's something we teach our children all the time. When they're given something, what do you say? Thank you. Thank you. And that's what children of God do. The book of Hebrews, once again, Hebrews 13, through him, through Jesus, let us then continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Not only that, next verse, let us not neglect to do good and share share the things that we have, because with such sacrifices, God is pleased. Sacrifices that honor God with word and with action. Sacrifices that bring blessing to the people around you. Now, does that sound like anything you've heard before? Something that honors God in word and action. Something that brings blessing to the people around you. Well, I will give you a hint. You said it just a few moments ago. You quoted it just a few moments ago. Matter of fact, it's not just one thing, it's 10 things. You quoted them all just a few minutes ago. 10 commandments. And what were they written on? Tablets of stone. How many tablets of stone? 2. The commandments of God, which talk about love. Love on the first table, the first tablet of stone, love for God. And on the second tablet of stone, love for your neighbor, for those around you. Honoring God and bringing blessing to the people around you. Now we hear that and the first reaction may be, yeah, but wait a second. I thought that I hear all the time at St. Peter that we're not saved by our works. And that is true, but we're not talking about being saved here. You're already saved. You already are saved. You already have everlasting life. It's already been taken care of. It happened on the cross of Jesus. You were washed clean in the shed blood of Jesus. Not only that, in holy baptism, you became a child of God. What happened on the cross got applied to you. You've been delivered from sin, death, the power of the devil. You've already left the land of Egypt. You're not there anymore. You're on your way to the promised land. And until you get there, you're probably going to have some time on your hands. Some time on your hands. Now that time may be a day. That time may be 40 years, like the people of Israel wandered for 40 years. But in whatever time God has given you, there's got to be a better purpose in your life than just checking off your bucket list. Things that you always wanted to do. How about this? You will be for me, the Lord says, a kingdom of priests and a holy nation, offering up spiritual sacrifices, keeping God's commandments. Book of Romans, chapter 12. I appeal to you, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, that cross of Christ, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Don't be conformed to the world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect, his commandments. Now you recognize, of course, that that is not something that comes instantly in the life of a Christian person. We all start out at a place where maybe we say, keep God's commandments. Why would I do that? Well, I do it because I'm supposed to. It's not a wrong answer, but it's a preschool answer. It's an infant's answer, appropriate for little children. So why then? Why would you keep God's commandments? Well, later in life you might say, well, I keep God's commandments because they bring blessing to my life. Is that true? Yes, it is. But it's an adolescent way of looking at God's commandments. God's commandments bring me blessing, because when you're an adolescent, it's all about who? It's all about you. But as you grow up, eventually you come to a more mature understanding and you realize that God's commandments honor the Lord. God's commandments benefit your neighbor. And you don't really need to go any further than that. The reason being is because you're already saved. You already left Egypt. You're already on your way to the promised land. And until you get there, you know, I got some time on my hands. I have some opportunity on my hands. So then, Hebrews chapter 13, through Jesus, then let us continually, ongoing, continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that acknowledge his name. Don't neglect to do good and share with what you have. Ten Commandments, for with such sacrifices, God is pleased. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, may keep your hearts and your minds through faith in Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen.